Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky celebrate the Wine Vault's 300th episode. And to do that, they welcome an old friend, namely Apatagua, and their Pinot Noir. But not just any Pinot Noir, their Collection Limited Edition Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I like chickpeas.
Do you now? Oh, yes. We were just earlier noticing that all of the settings are changed on everything here in the room. The subwoofer was too loud for this. Scott's headphones were unplugged. And I deduced that there was a Luke in the room that messed with everything. And I am sure of it. Becky is defending the young child, and I know that he is guilty.
I think it's poor parental supervision on part of his dad.
I would have been at work.
Like, I don't also work.
Oh, okay.
I saw that.
That's true. On tonight's
What? Who else is with us?
Oh, that person. And the Triple B is on the show tonight.
Who also has a job.
Yes, you do. You are the color commentary here on the show.
and a job.
That's true. That's true. Chick-fil-A. On the show tonight, we are celebrating the 300th episode. Yes, 300 published episodes on the iTunes, Scott. That's a lot of episodes, isn't
it? That's a lot of published episodes. That's a lot of drinking. It's a lot of bottles of wine. Wouldn't you say that it's probably 300 more shows that have come that have aired?
Maybe 400. Well, on tonight's show, to celebrate the 300th episode, we have welcomed back an old friend.
An old friend.
And from other seasons in the past. And this is Apatagua. And you all like, oh, Apatagua. You've had virtually everything they've made on the show at one time or the other. It's true, we have. And we're back to their Pinot Noir, which is historically our favorite. But this isn't their standard Pinot Noir.
No.
This is their Collection. Their Collection Limited Edition Pinot Noir. Limited edition. That is odd. But nevertheless, they do make one that has a lot bigger, heavier bottle. This is from the San Antonio Valley. And did you know, Scott, it's limited? It has some reviews, naturally. We'll get to that later. It has some oak on it. We'll get to that later. It has some class. We'll get to that later. It might taste like dog shit. We'll get to that later. But we don't know. We don't know. We keep an open mind here on the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to first take a break. Because we have to center our minds, prepare ourselves
for Apatagua
here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Apatagua Collection Limited from San Antonio Valley. Scott, is the Pinot Noir, or actually Triple B, I'll ask you because you're closer. Is the Pinot Noir the standard one from San Antonio Valley, or is it from Colchagua?
Which one? Oh, San Antonio.
They're both from San Antonio. That's what I thought.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It says something underneath it, too. I just can't read it.
Mm. This is the thing.
Valley is state grown. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a state grown. This is one of these things. It's rare. I don't know how much. It's limited, naturally. This is bottle number 5,401 out of 17,100. Do some math.
Bottles, not even. Yeah. Wow. Not cases. Okay. Bottles.
Yeah, it's about what? Well, 1,500 cases or so. Is that what it is? That's pretty low. It's. Is that what it is? I don't know. 12
and
bottles
not
per case.
Only that, it also has a sticker on the label.
It does have a sticker.
Wow.
And it's about $28 a bottle. Yes, this is. It got a the Global Pinot Noir Masters, the drink business, the
what?
Drinks business.
Are you translating that, or is that actually what it says?
It got a silver medal from the drinks business.
Come on, I'm the Pinophile. That's my business name
the
now.
The drinks business.
So the Pinophile. That's
the
my
drinks
name
business.
Now.
Sounds drinks like business. Something
Sparky,
that the
my
Dern
son
crew
invented
created
that.
To rate Kool-Aids.
No,
doesn't it?
No, Sparky invented that. What did you do? That's Sparky. Sparky invented that.
The
Pinot Noir.
I mean, that's 1,000%. Yeah. The Dern boys love those mini cans of like Sunkist and root beer.
Oh, God.
That are, they're expensive.
Yeah, the 6 ounce cans or whatever.
Yeah.
I just assumed that silver was, I never looked at it that close.
But that's 1,000%. They would come up with a drinks business.
Yeah,
and
say that
rate.
Again. Say that name again.
The drinks business.
They'd rate the.
The Global Pinot Noir Masters.
The Sunkist versus the Sprite versus.
And there's the Dern boys.
Hey,
that
William in his Batman outfit.
The dorkiest fucking thing.
Yeah.
Luke with his lightsaber.
We had the Pantygon on last week. And it had all those things like the Japan Wine Challenge.
Oh,
and at least that was a country. This is like, you know, the drinks business. You know, Scotty and Mikey have a lemonade stand. It's our drinks business. I peed myself. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. Way to put that on your label. I thought it was like James Suckling sticker or something. I don't know, though. That being said, though, this wine, they have select sites. Very select. So they can have their limited edition.
So they can have their drinks business.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's so
no.
Funny.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced
Are
it.
Are we doing Swords of Integrity before we get started?
We can. And I do apologize. I did mispronounce it. It's the drinks business. I'm sorry. That's what it is.
So messed up.
I know. It is on French Oak. Oh. How much? Who knows? It does have some reviews, too.
Okay.
And I kept them in front of me because I have some esteemed guests here on the 300 episode that want to read that.
We're not doing voices. That's my guess.
You're not doing voices.
Robert.
No.
Stop.
I'm sorry. The wine enthusiast provided this wine.
Wilfred, it's good to see you.
Hi. The 87 of its points, which is low. And they wrote, not
87.
This is not a nice review. This is the worst review I've ever read. Malty aromas suggest plum and currant with an unappealing note of peanut butter. A whole top of it. A plump palate is a
Are
touch.
You making that up?
No, is a touch flat in feel. While this wine tastes of lightly spiced plum and currant. Because they needed to write that twice.
They did.
They have a stutter. A round chunky finish holds it together. Note of peanut butter. There's nothing unappealing about peanut butter.
Particularly chunky.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
Reminds me of your sweatpants.
I know. And this is James Suckling. I felt that review was bullshit, and I sounded like Hank there. I provided this wine, of course, 91 of my points, which is low for me. But still, that's an enthusiast 87, which is a wine spectator 14. But nevertheless, I wrote fresh and lively Pinot Noir, which is completely different than what they wrote. Dried strawberry and orange undertones. Medium bodied, firm tannins, and a juicy finish.
Okay.
Just like me.
Are we done with voices?
Well, those are the only two reviews.
Okay.
Oh, Wilfred will be back. You know that. That's right. I'm like a cop, a bad penny. I always turn up. No, what is that? I'm like herpes. I always show up when you don't want
oh,
me
Lord.
To. Okay, there we go. So, a peanut note of peanut butter on the
nose.
Okay.
And then the description is chunky.
Disgusting.
Peanut butter.
It's a little unusual.
I would admit that if a Pinot Noir smelled like peanut butter, Bo, can you make more noise, you dipshit? Take that from him, Scott.
He's Bo is so lazy. He's laying sideways on the ground with that bone. He's just laying there chewing it. He's so lazy.
He's just clanging it. Why don't you go get a tin can and smack it with a stick? I'm going to smack you with a stick.
That's so, I mean, that was the laziest thing I've seen a dog do.
You're interrupting my art. So, yes, peanut butter. Well, in the glass, folks. I mean, why?
My pour looks substantially smaller than yours.
You like it smaller.
It's a good thing for you.
I don't know why I said that. Nice job, dumbass.
The only thing that would have been better with that setup is if I'd have gone, Becky, and she'd have gone, good
I
thing
was
you
too
like
busy,
it.
Like, what the...
It's not what I meant, but...
But mine is half... My pour is half of what yours is.
It's because you drink less than we do. We're drunks. You can have more. You finish what's in front of you. You might be thanking me.
Oh, Lord.
You might be thanking me.
I don't know. I know there's no peanut butter on this nose.
It's limited edition, Scott.
I stuck my...
It smells... It has Pinot Funk, 100%.
Just, can I point this out?
It's funky of the Pinots we've had in a long time.
Their website doesn't mention the drink's business. I'm just saying. They're not proud of that, but they put a sticker on there.
Hmm. You know,
from my experience with supply chain, the winery is not the one putting that sticker on. It's someone making.
Yeah, it's a distributor because this is removable.
But it's also someone making very little money, and they're slapping stuff on. Who even knows?
Drinks business.
We're upstairs, Henry. Luke and William are laughing because they actually did stick the drinks business sticker on there.
That's very true. They finished ranking their favorite Gatorade colors. Yeah.
Blue, orange, red.
Blue.
You know what? Not a lot different than the tasting panel.
Not a lot different than the wine ball.
Well, I don't know.
White's the worst. That's
what's your wine
know
of the year? Gatorade blue?
Yeah.
Well, blue ice.
Glacier freeze.
I like glacier freeze.
I'm not going to kill Bo. Much to Rob's chagrin, I'm not going to snap his neck.
We could just take the bone from him and make him.
Oh.
Hey. We all heard that.
Come on, sit.
I might have to go over there and beat myself a dog.
Yeah. He's pissed about it. I don't like that at all. Bo.
Up here.
Hey.
Scott right now. Jeez. Basically, Scott right now is Denzel Washington to Bo's Will Smith after some technical difficulties because of an idiot labradoodle. But still, the nose.
Hey, why are you calling me a labradoodle?
I'll say this. It does. It's a little bit muddled. It's a little bit. It does have a creaminess to it. But peanut butter's a stretch. That's an odorless peanut butter. I mean, I don't...
There's no peanut.
There's a creaminess there, but it's not a negative thing. And I like an unappealing note of peanut butter. Well, Michael Schrock, or whatever, dumbass, you know.
Well,
he writes for a glossy mag, so that's what that is.
But it's classic Pinot Funk on the nose. Yes.
It's got a funkiness, yeah.
Behind the funk is the creaminess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a funkiness.
Creaminess.
It's a muddled, behind it.
A muddled creaminess on the
almost
nose.
Like a
peanut butter.
Dairy?
No,
like a half and half.
Maybe, yeah.
What?
Like a half and half, like a creamer.
Well, I heard what you said. I just didn't quite understand why you said it.
I don't smell it.
Almost like
it's okay.
Lemon curd, maybe like a cream pie, but like lemon.
What?
Like a.
Something wrong with you? Here, follow my pen. See, let's just watch.
No,
I know you think that, but you bumped your head and
not hard.
Bo growled at you, and you got emotional. All right, I'm going to go in.
I really enjoy this nose.
It's fine, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not objectionable.
It's a heavy Pinot nose.
It's not my favorite Pinot nose. I mean, but it's fine. It's a creamy raspberry and a little bit of funk on the background.
You would know it's a Pinot.
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
I go more funk forward. So. I go heavy funk. I enjoy the nose.
Something a little bit upsetting. Mm. I had some hot tamales on my drive home today.
Okay.
And it has messed up my palate a little bit. Like, burned it a little bit.
Those spicy things.
Mm. Hot tamales are so good, though. They're like my car snack of choice.
This is a full-bodied Pinot.
It is.
Very weighty palate. Mm-hmm. I could see why that might be a turnoff to some. It might start off with that. I don't think that's a bad thing for me, but it could be a turnoff to some. It's dry, naturally. Notes of cranberry,
yeah,
tart raspberry, red fruits.
There's cherry for sure.
Yeah. And a nice
little currant.
Acidity through the whole wine.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. Has a bit of acidity, yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, in the glass, it's a little on the darker side for Pinot as well. So
it is a little bit.
The heavier side to the body. I don't know if it's to say it's not surprising, but I think it is more towards full body, but I also think it has a weighty mouthfeel on top of that.
A little bit.
And that's, you're like, duh. But you know, sometimes a wine can be lighter in body, but still have a heavier feel. Like, this has a feel, you know, we talk about silkiness or dairy coating of the tongue. This just feels like a
heavy
wine
quilt.
That has...
Mm-hmm. White noise? I don't know.
Almost a... Okay. It's headed towards like a syrupy feel. It isn't, but it's headed that way.
Oh yeah, like it's not like almost the medicinal syrup, but it's not.
It doesn't have the flavors of medicinal,
right.
But
I
yeah,
can see that.
It reminds me of that, and this is full bodied.
It is full bodied.
It's tannic.
Are you surprised by that? I am.
Yeah, I am too. I feel like
it's a 16 vintage, which I believe is current vintage for it. I mean, they don't make it very often, and I would have thought that it might have leaned out a little bit. It hasn't.
I think also we've talked about this before with Pinots being more delicate, light. This is not. I wouldn't.
This is a bruiser.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say brambly, but it is certainly.
It's not crazy talk though, using that word.
But it is more so than any other Pinot I've had.
Well, because of the acidity, yeah. Makes it a little bit more, not vibrant, a little more, possibly a little chunkier, kind of, you know. Mm-hmm.
And so many words to describe Pinot would be like light, complex, like those kinds of words. I would describe this Pinot as dark.
Yeah. It is.
In taste, not in the coloration, but like a dark Pinot.
No, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More brooding in style.
Sure. I'm really into it. What do you all think?
It depends on what you're a fan of.
I'm saying for you, yourself.
I'm a fence sitter. No, if you really enjoy the standard Apatagua Pinot Noir, I don't know if you'll enjoy this as much because that is a little bit, it's a little more linear, a little more simpler, but it is silky mouthfeel. It's mother's milk, really. Mm-hmm. This is a little, like Becky said, it's brooding slightly. It reminds me of maybe a little more of a Cali style, even though it's Chilean, actually. But they're occasionally, if you're like Sonoma Coast, one of those Pinots, this tastes a little bit of that to me. Mm-hmm. I would like a little more funk, but...
On the palate.
Yeah, but that's okay. It's...
We talk so much about approachability. Some people do not like Pinots because of the funk. I wonder if this would be more pleasing to someone that likes Zins, Cabs, etc. Because it is more a Pinot-leaning
cab. No, I think that's really astute. I think, yeah, it...
A cab-leaning Pinot, I guess, is a better way to say it.
Yeah. No, that's exactly where my mind was thinking as you started to go with this, that the cab drinker might appreciate this more because of both the way it expresses its flavor profile, but also the density.
Mm-hmm.
the Paso cab drinker and enjoyer would definitely, because the flavor profile can emulate it. You definitely know it's Pinot, though. It's Pinot all day long. I mean, you're not going to mistake it for anything else. But the cherry elements and those red fruits, the savory aspects kind of emulate that a little bit.
I have to say, there's not often where we drink a wine that is this interesting
because
to describe, and I'm a big fan of that.
And I think one of the reasons it is interesting, one of the reasons that it is the because is the different texture of it.
Yes.
Is the body.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but often though, when you have a heavy body like this and the tannin, you don't get acidity, but there
right.
it is.
And
it just in flavor wise, it isn't some sort of magical tapestry. It's not a peacock of a wine where you're seeing 18,000 things and you're like, oh. Mm-hmm. But it is more texture oriented. It is more, here is your big white fruit, like a quilt, just laying on top of it. But there's pops of acidity that kind of weave through it. Then the tannins flow through. And then that oak is just subtly kind of shaping it and molding it, and adding just a little bit of spiciness to the acidity. But it all flows. It all tastes Pinot-esque. It tastes like it's supposed to taste like that.
You know it's Pinot.
Yeah.
So it, unusual in character a little bit, but something where you would knock it down. I don't. But I wonder if a Pinot drinker, I wonder what the Pinotphile would think of this.
I don't.
How often do they do the...
I don't know. They have no information as to that. They
and
only
you got it on wine.com?
Yes, a while ago.
Yeah.
And wine.com lists this as Colchagua Valley. It does.
They're very wrong.
Mm. It says Colchagua Valley, Repel Valley, Chile. But then in the winemaker notes, it talks about San Antonio Valley.
Mm. Well, it could be from different select sites, and they're just naming that. But
I wonder if San Antonio Valley is part of the Colchagua Valley AVA.
This is the thing. A Burgundian... Pinot fan. Traditional Burgundian Pinot fan.
Oh, they're not.
No. But if you
domestic
like...
Domestic Pinot drinker.
Yes, domestic Pinot
domestic
drinker.
Domestic for our American listeners.
Yes. You domestic... So that right there, you're starting to see where we're at. Because, you know, a Chilean Pinot, they can be a little bit leaner in style and a little more Burgundian-esque. Like, what is that? The Rufios? The Rufijos? What the hell was that? There was the Monte... It was the... Oh, shit. We've had two or three on the show that were excellent, but they were a leaner, more Burgundian style. The Zorzal was another one I'm thinking of. What the hell is that? Shit. I probably couldn't pronounce it when it was on the damn show, but... but several of those things in the 20-ish range where this is. You know, I don't know. But this definitely is a little more Cali. I know I am. I'm not surprised that Becky likes it since she drinks Aelawan so much. Oh, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Cases of Aelawan. No. Mm-hmm.
You didn't care for Aelawan, I think.
No, she doesn't.
Aelawan. Isn't that how we say it?
You hate it. She hates it. That actually, though, that was on the drinks business because it was with the Kool-Aid. So, you know.
Drink badness.
Mm-hmm.
This is tasty.
Oh, yeah. It's a little cheddar. What would you eat with this?
I
know what I would.
Huh.
Be honest, you could have a steak with this easily.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I think, sautéed mushrooms with fresh herbs.
Yeah,
I mean, a side of those. I mean, if I were at a steakhouse, I would have two glasses of wine. I would have a cab, you know. And then I would have this because my side would be sautéed mushrooms. And I would just drink this with the sautéed mushrooms. Not with the cab, but with that. You know, that's how I roll.
Following along your lines with that, I'm gonna take that and up it one.
Oh.
We're good.
Mushroom risotto.
Oh, no, that'd be... oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where this is at.
Topped with tiny pieces but shredded lamb shank.
Boop, boop, boop. No lamb shank.
So, Why not lamb shank?
Nobody does that.
Nobody does that. Remember that I'm inventing a dish.
Remember that lamb pompadelli we have?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That shredded, ooey gooey lamb like that.
This would be fine with that.
What was the lamb joke I said this week?
I thought we couldn't. I thought we weren't allowed to eat veal.
Not lamb either. I don't eat lamb.
Bad.
Why not?
Same reason.
It's a red meat.
That's bad.
I could honestly be a vegetarian. It wouldn't upset me that much.
You said that before, yeah. I know.
Why?
I was a vegetarian for a couple of years in college. It didn't bother me at all. That's funny.
Yeah. So who would eat the second Friday night steak? Me. Oh, that's right. You've got three boys. Never mind.
I would just eat it, you know?
Yeah.
I just, for Costco, I got their prime, just sirloins.
They were nice.
Well, I had one for lunch, but slow down. I had a smaller one, and I sliced it, and then I had Carb Smart tortilla.
Okay.
I took a little bit of that, your dip.
Oh,
that was the base, a little piece of cheese, then the strips of the steak, and I had a...
Was it really good?
Christ, it was fucking medium Costco rare.
Costco makes a street corn dip, and it's kind of spicy, and it's amazing. It's so good.
It made you want to cry. Nobody makes a steak, whatever that was, like that.
That dip really good. So good.
About cried when I was doing it. So good.
I think mushrooms is spot on. When you make mushrooms in the little pot, that's what I was picturing with.
Oh, yes, yes. I was just picturing Jay Gilbert's because I like their sauteed mushroom.
I've been doing a mushroom saute and then finishing off with hot, spicy Italian sausage. So I'll take the mushrooms, slice them, season them, but then let them soak in olive oil. So kind of marinating them. Then pan sear the sausages, let them rest. Nice crust, but they're not cooked all the way through, right?
Raw sausage, yeah, it's good.
No. You're getting nice brown, a nice sear on them. Then you let them rest, continue to cook off to the side. Then you saute your veg, big chunks of nice Vidalia onion and that mushroom. Get up all the crispy bits from the sausage. Then you re-add the sausage and braise it with tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
And just the mushrooms out of that is so good.
Yeah.
They pick up the spice from the spicy sausage and...
I thought you were talking about...
This has become a bit of a potpourri. What are you gardening this year? Do you know?
I don't know. I need to rebuild my garden and relocate it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but the area where I previously had trees is not doing so well for my maters. So I think I'm going to go around the side of the house where I had done some peppers and some different things and expand that area of the garden. And I think I'm going to go to the other area and just try and do a bulk of hot peppers this year and see how that goes. But my tomatoes, I've been getting clobbered.
Yeah.
Just horrible. I know around Central Ohio, people didn't do as well with them. Just blight. They'd get ripe and they'd blow up. And, you know, you read different things of what the cause can be. But, it just sucked. I think I need to redo the area. And I'm just not going to fight that soil anymore. Hot peppers grow freaking pretty much everywhere.
I'll
add some more soil to it and it'll be my hot pepper garden. And I think at the shadier end, that's where I'm going to do my spices.
Cool.
I did those towers. Those towers were a miserable failure for spices. They didn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask Scott and Becky, we're going to start off with this. This is a really quick thing. I just want to see how you rate as opposed to Henry. Because I asked Henry these same questions earlier today. Very simple, very short questions. And Henry got 4 out of 4. Just to point this out. 4 out of 4.
The Drinks Business is the leading drinks magazine for the off and on trade.
The off and on trade?
Yeah.
Is that some sort of porno thing?
Swingers Club.
Oh, okay, I was going to say off and on
trade.
It's out of off. The UK, which makes sense because they say like maths.
Maths
instead of math. Yeah, like Hank says maths.
So does Rob.
Yeah, but I say it sarcastically.
Well, the magazine discusses the latest news and trends in the global beer and wine spirits industry, so it's a real thing.
So it's basically the tasting panel.
It's been around since 2001.
Wow.
Well, it provides content for Time Magazine and the Huffington Post.
The Huffington Post. Jesus.
Does it say the DB Awards?
I'm a liberal and I just said that. Jesus. Well, Huffington Post. It provides content. So it's an editor at large.
The last time someone updated their...
I'm trying not to spit my wine out. Not because of the wine.
Oh, my gosh. It's a Dear Abby kind of thing. It's
a, their know. Website has a lot of stuff.
I'm sure it does. A lot of websites have a lot of stuff. Pornhub has a lot of stuff.
Robert. You know,
I'm just saying. What? It does. Scott told me about it. Anyway. So the first question I want to ask you guys. And this is, he picked one category. And this is, am I Cab or am I Merlot? And these are very basic questions. Yes, I know. He was trying to win his iPad.
This isn't real.
No, how did that work? Did he get his iPad back?
Yeah, but we got it right before we got to the house because he was too enthralled with playing the trivia game. He's such a dork. Anyway, so.
Are you going to keep squeaking your chair?
Yes. If I were in Saint-Emilion, I would be predominantly what? I want you to write down your answer. Cab or Merlot? Can you beat Henry's score?
What's the? How many questions are you having us do?
Just 4.
Okay.
Are you smarter than a 9-year-old for no. wine? Okay. What are your answers, Becky?
I make us do all of them.
Okay. Bonus question.
Bonus or number 2?
Okay, it's number 2. I called it a bonus question for him. If I were Saint-Emilion, and I were this, would I be right bank or left bank?
Okay.
Number 3. If I were Harlan, what would I predominantly be?
Do we get choices?
It's Cab or Merlot. There's 2 choices. It's 50-50. And then if I were Merlot, I would be best known for being grown in either A, the Russian River Valley, B, Anderson Valley, or C, Napa Valley.
Say again, A, Russian River.
B, Anderson Valley, okay. And C, Napa Valley.
Okay. I have 0 confidence in myself on this.
Okay.
I have a pen that's not writing.
All right. So the first question. If I were Saint-Emilion, I would be predominantly what, Becky?
I put Merlot.
And Scott, what did you put?
Merlot.
You would be correct. Merlot is Saint-Emilion. However, if I were predominantly Merlot, Saint-Emilion, would I be right bank or left bank?
Right bank.
I said left.
That would be incorrect, Becky. Hmm. Oh, it is right bank, folks. Now, if I were Harlan, the famed Napa porn wine, what would I be predominantly made of? Cabernet or Merlot? Becky, what did you write?
I wrote Cabernet.
Cab.
You'd be correct. Then the final question. If I were Merlot, what would I be best known? What region would I best be known in? Russian River? Anderson Valley? Or Napa Valley? Becky, which did you choose?
I chose Anderson.
I chose Anderson as well.
You'd both be wrong.
Okay.
Napa And you lost to a 9-year-old because Henry got 4 out of 4.
Yeah. How much Merlot is grown in Napa?
Predominant.
By volume.
Anderson Valley, you know how much is grown in Anderson Valley?
I
none.
Remember.
Zero.
You know how much is grown in Russian River Valley? Maybe a bottle? No, none. Out of those three, Napa. It's best known for Merlot. Bordeaux varietals. Jesus Christ. Folks. 9-year-old Scott. Anderson Valley? Pinot. Pinot's in Anderson Valley.
Oak Knoll,
which is in Napa.
Owl Mountain.
Which is in Napa.
Los Caneros.
Which is in Napa.
We don't drink California
I do.
Merlot.
To be fair, I don't like Merlot normally.
Yes, but I know. Okay. Well, anyway, folks. Henry did quite well. I told him he probably would do better than you guys did. So he got it right. He guessed 4 times right. Probably because he guessed Napa because he's the only one he knew. So, you know,
there's that.
And the rest of it was a 50-50 shot, but he's very, very lucky. So
I think you've asked that last question.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did ask him one other question that he got wrong. Mm. So, and this is, I'm a wine region.
I live at the zoo.
That's true. I'm in Spain. My levels are Crianza, Reserva, and Gran Reserva. And you and I, Becky, went there on our honeymoon. And Tempranillo is best known there.
Why is this a question?
I asked Henry this question.
What did he say?
Well, he said Ribera de Duero, and he was wrong.
You're such a liar.
I'm serious. I gave him three options: Pomerol, Ribera de Duero, or Rioja.
It's Rioja.
Yeah. Well, you looked it up, though, didn't you?
No. Yeah.
You got that one.
I was looking up Pride Merlot.
I know. So, folks, that's actually Sonoma in Napa, but that's okay. So, the actual question that I wanted to ask tonight is, because it's the 300th episode, what is your most memorable moment from all 300 episodes? And I know this is hard for Scott because you can't remember anything.
Well, there's so many.
Apparently Scott's going first. That gives Becky a moment to prepare.
Do you have a moment? Do you have a thought? We can
by
like,
all means, go ahead.
We can like leapfrog off each other, you know.
Yeah,
just
yeah, yeah.
No, of course.
There was a moment. There were a couple of wine moments that were fairly fucking transcendent. Let's just be honest. Let's use the bad words we need to. Panikene.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. You're right. That episode was epic.
The wine was epic. It just was.
Uh-huh.
But then also, this was back in the glory days of way too many bottles of wine.
Mm.
But then Clarendon Hills, how it being transformed. Rob, when he opened it, he's like, "Oh, this is. I'm sorry, man. This is corked. It's just we waited too long for it." And then you open something else out and head to that, and then just on a whim went back to the Clarendon Hills. We went, "Oh my God!"
Yes,
it just needed to blow the funk off of it. It just needed to blow the steam off of it. It just needed to decant for a really long time.
Yes.
And it was that.
It'll do.
That wine, it's really close, the influence on me in wine and appreciation for wines, that and the Turley Tasting Night.
Mm.
For me personally, because that Turley Tasting Night just changed my outlook on wine. You know, I got on the mailing list and got much more serious about it. And I still, folks, I'm building customized storage because of Turley's champagne bottles, because I built storage that they just wouldn't. It's not that they
wouldn't
fit,
bottles.
But they're rounded, so you can't stack them 6 bottles high.
Thanks, Turley.
We love you. And now, 2 months later, they're going to change their bottles back to the appropriate normal-sized bottles. Like they said they were going to do and haven't
done
yet.
Turley
are they going to do that?
They said they were going to do it about
they did.
3 years ago.
But they did, Scott. It was the ones that were just slightly flatter on the side. That's their thought of that's their interpretation of a stacking
Turley
bottle.
Turley doesn't do a champagne, do they?
No, it's kind of that
literally
same.
In the industry.
Oh, you mean like a champagne?
It's called the Turley bottle.
Literally in the industry, it's a Turley bottle. But it's much more champagne.
But not
size.
They're not making a sparkler.
No.
Champagne bottles are the same size as Turley.
That's why I was not connected.
But they're also
they have flatter sides and they stack stuff. So whatever.
You know. Anyway, yeah, I love that and I love my custom wine swatch. Wait till you see what I did on the walls. Mm-hmm. Wait till you see what I did on the exposed wall. It looks really good.
Should have been bigger. Anyway.
That's what she said.
That's true. Becky, do you have any memory that you can think of?
Are you going? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, I do.
I have two. So you go. I'm debating. You go.
Oh, it's not a test, but...
Simba.
It's not a test, but you go.
I doubt we'll overlap. Mine was back early on. We're talking like episode 4 or 5, season 1. Don't listen to those folks because those are just train wrecks. But still.
No, you should listen to this.
I'll remaster them. If you'd like, request them be remastered. And if I still have them, I will remaster them.
I don't think
like
you can remaster them.
We had a night of Cabernet. And that night, it was myself, Triple B, Scott, the superstar, and Deb, Princess. And we were very, very drunk. But that same night, we did really bad Cabernets from Pepperwood Grove.
Oh, my God.
Chateau Souverain.
Oh, my God.
But we also did Numanthia.
Yes, we did.
We did like 10 wines.
Yeah, we did a lot.
I think it was five or six bottles. But there were five of us.
Yeah.
There were five of us.
Well, that's what we used to do. We were insane. Mm-hmm. And we're like, why is this show terrible? Oh, that's why.
Well, and it's also Steve was on. God bless him. We love you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
About to have... You know, serious medical procedure, but he's going to be okay. And we're wishing for nothing but good thoughts for the superstar. So keep him in your prayers, folks.
Penile implants are very normal. They're
Rob.
I'm sorry.
They're very successful surgeries most of the time.
Yeah.
Wasn't yours?
Man, I had to reduce it. It was like 18 inches.
If we're talking about this, I'm going upstairs.
What? Okay. I'm back again.
We'd have to do 3 or 4 episodes so Rob and I could get 2 full glasses.
That's true.
Steve was here.
That's true. But that same night, I remember that we drank, but we also sang to Scott Strawberry Wine.
Was that the first Strawberry Wine night?
That was the first night we sang to you Strawberry Wine because of Sven. Because
actually, the Strawberry Wine, just in general, that whole theme.
Yes. You were thirsting for knowledge, and he had a car. I think that's what it was.
Is Pepperwood Grove
bad? Yes.
But was it the really bad one?
Oh, my God.
It's pretty bad.
It was one of the
That
lowest...
was Chateau Souverain, but
no,
there were...
No, it wasn't. There was one that was pepper, green pepper.
That was Pepper Grove.
That's what I thought, too. That was one of my top memories, actually.
Oof. How bad it was, yeah.
That was pretty horrendous.
But we had a lot of fun that night.
Yeah, we did.
But I do remember, though, when we did 19 Crimes. And you know what we chased that with, Scott? Mm-hmm. We did 19 Crimes, and which was horrendous. And then you and I drank Josh.
Which...
I don't know if that... I think that aired. Josh. Yeah. Josh, for Christ's sake.
But that vintage of Josh wasn't bad. It wasn't the sugar bomb that it's become.
I have not had it in years, so I wouldn't know. We've had so many bad wines. And I remember back early on, I'm not sure where we found things at, just the trash bin. You know, they threw this out. And then
we drank our way through every grocery store wine.
We did.
I mean, every Meijer, every Giant Eagle, every Kroger.
You have noticed we haven't had the Federalist on since season 1. There's a reason.
And we haven't had Martha's.
Oh, her hard shard? No, we haven't. I just saw something tonight. I did not buy it. Or not tonight. When was I? I don't know what it was. But it's like Bordeaux Rouge. And it's the cheesiest thing. We got to have that on the show. Get that, Scott.
It reminds me of that. What's the wine they sell at Target?
It reminds me of the New England Patriots theme, which isn't.
What's the wine at Target? Non-vintage?
Stella Rosa?
Stella Rosa.
But this is a dry red, supposedly. Okay. Supposedly.
So another thing I think, and I'll spark an interest for both of you, we do a pretty good job of celebrating special occasions in our lives, whether it's birth of a child, birthdays. We've had a lot of special birthday bottles. You broke out special stuff for me. One of my favorite bottles, just totally winging it, was the bottle I bought for your birthday, that Hidden Ridge.
Oh, yes.
That was just
yeah
a home run, and that was from Twisted. They put out a couple of recommendations, and I picked that one. Just, you know, popped on a couple different apps, and that was... It's just nice to have a special wine for a special occasion.
Mm-hmm. Lots of luck finding that anymore. Look, yeah. They changed the name.
Some of my favorite episodes, I mean, we've had some really great wines together, but sometimes the bad ones are just like the most memorable, like Pepperwood Grove. I do also feel like that what the night that we did Martini and Rossi, and what else did we, I don't even know what we'd had with it.
It was canned.
Yeah, it was a
it was
canned
the canned sparkling.
It was so funny. And that guy that sang the song that had your voice.
Martini and Rossi.
That was so funny.
On the rocks, say yes.
That was such a funny episode.
Martini and Rossi might have been the worst out of the... And it wasn't even part of the show. It was just a split. We were doing canned sparklers, and yeah. That was the probably... It was the... it's not Iron Horse. Who does the double douche? Is it Iron? That's not Iron Horse. It's Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
They're bubbles or bubbly.
Oh, yeah. God.
That butthole thing.
Another episode I really like that's old is when the superstar brought the rosé over.
We really did like that. Mm-hmm. Rosé.
And it was a beautiful bottle. We saved it and we put water in it forever.
Oh, we did. Oh.
We took it out on the deck for a long time.
That cheesy thing, that Bordeaux thing. It's imported by C.K. Mondavi.
Oh,
because they're known for their quality wine. It's like it's the Fredo of the Mondavis.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and you did that Fredo line for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the joy of the show, and, you know, they're not always spectacular, but when we have those budget wines that are just so, so good.
Mm-hmm. Like Hoag Riesling, remember that?
When
that
there's
was so
a diamond.
Nice.
Well, there
when
was that.
Diamond
there was
the
whole period of time where Rob wouldn't. There were two things. You swore he was pulling out the better wines for the second episode,
which
Poppycock.
Was accurate.
And then later, when he was pulling out stuff and asking you which one you wanted to do, and you weren't choosing as well, then you accused us of falsely upping the scores on the second episode.
True.
When he was letting you pick which one was going to be first and which one was second.
Rob got into a terrible habit of waking me up, which you should never do.
Oh, I'm going to keep doing that.
And he'd be like, we gave the second wine a 93. And I was like, do not care.
She cared.
A couple weeks ago.
Better.
Yeah.
When was this? A couple weekends ago, I wasn't feeling well. I had a sinus headache for 4 days. Yeah, I thought for sure I had COVID. And I kept testing myself. Rob woke me up on a Sunday morning after I'd gotten up with Maggie, put her back down for a nap, woke me up to ask me if I wanted breakfast. And I was like...
How dare I?
I was trying to take care of you.
He was not. He thought I'd slept long enough.
Oh,
it was like 11 in the morning.
Well,
I had already been up. I had slept from 10:15.
She fails
to
mention that she was drinking cough medicine from like 7 p.m. to 11. And it's not like you're just taking. She was drinking it, man.
The Tussin.
Not accurate.
True.
The Tussin.
I can't hardly take any medicine because I'm still nursing Maggie, so I can't take anything.
I don't think so. I know. I see all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, mm-hmm. But yeah, those are some of my favorite episodes. I would also say all of my broken leg episodes are my favorite because it was so much effort to get down.
That's
here.
That's true, but you did that.
We were committed to it.
You had the chair.
It was, and it was like you're at the time. It was like,
at least
it was. There was. You were so looking forward to doing it. You weren't going to let it be taken away from
you. Yeah, and
it
was like all I could do. It was like the only thing I had going on because I was stuck home forever. Mm-hmm. And like one night when I was down here. Yeah.
And pregnant.
Yeah, pregnant,
that wasn't
broken leg. And Rob, we did one night, we did like 3 wines. Do you remember? And I couldn't even reach any of them sitting down there.
And you had like, well, because she's pregnant, she's not like saying, I'm going to drop, I'm not tipping up the cap.
No,
she just have like a little
2 ounces.
Sliver.
Yeah, I had a sip of each one, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah, she'd have a full schmear right there, but that's okay, you know. We, though, have emergency plans now. So whenever someone breaks their leg or hip or something like that, we know what to do with them.
Yeah.
You push them down the stairs, and once they're down here, you put them in a chair, man. Yeah. Rock and roll. So that's a look back to our 300 episodes. How many years? Six seasons is how long we've done this. So,
you know. If you had to really fast do a winery, the Wine Vault Winery, go.
Oh, by far it's Turley.
Probably Turley.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's some personal bias, but...
But Scott, you forget McManus is so undervalued.
It is undervalued. And,
if you take Turley out, who would you say?
We haven't done McManus in a long time, but McManus would be in the top 10.
I don't like McManus.
You do like McManus. Well,
I would say if we're doing top three, that's really hard.
Oh, top
too.
Three? One, yeah.
Even though it's a defunct winery, we loved all the Ravenswood stuff. Yeah.
Although I saw the 18 somewhere, the Lodi. No, it was the Vintner's Reserve.
But you didn't buy it?
No. Except I'm not spending like $9 on that shit. It's not very good. Gentine. No, it wasn't Gentine.
Gentine. Well, we've done a lot of Turley on the show.
If I was doing the top three Wine Vault wines, not my top three favorite, it would be Turley, Ravenswood, Hecula. You all were so obsessed with Hecula for so long.
But what about Apatagua?
No, the Hecula obsession was more than the Apatagua one. I'm not saying my top three favorites. I'm saying the top three Wine Vault wines.
And we have had some obsessions. Apatagua is right there with Hecula. It's and true. Eau de Lyon,
yes. A fleeting moment. Then it's disappeared. Bastards. Where did it go to?
We just had that last bottle on my house.
And by the way, Scott, nowwine.com. You have like 175 Bordeaux, and it's all the top stuff. You know why you have that? Because I berated you. That's why. You did it because of me. You bent to my will.
Dry Creek is another top winery.
They're up there.
We have an old vine in there.
Ferrari Carano, is a wine ball.
Duck Horn.
Wine, yeah.
Yeah, quack. So Ferrari Carano, that Merlot, that was a transcendent wine for me.
You like that? Yeah.
It really was.
Well, we almost had a Ferrari Carano Tresor tonight. We also almost had a Duckhorn Cabernet, but I figured you didn't want those things. So, you know, I was debating. It had to be something that had history on the show. Duckhorn, a lot of it were decoys, and those were bad. They progressively got worse and worse. I mean, the new Napa series, or whatever the blue labels are.
Yes.
That's fucking terrible.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad. But Apatagua just seemed right.
You know, off air before we went down this, let's look down memory lane road, Rob was commenting that as this wine progresses, it's, whether it's opening up or not, it's definitely growing on him.
It's likable.
I feel the same way. I liked it. It was likable to me. It's more likable now.
It just tastes actually more like Apatagua. It's now a little more mother's milk, now a little more softer, a little more silky. Very pleasing. So, folks, we're going to take a break and then be right back with some reviews here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Apatagua Collection Limited Edition, which is a dumb name, but that's okay. That's their choice. The Silver Medal Award winner from the Global Pinot Noir Masters, the Drinks Business, which is like the Tasting Panel.
Well, it's more like
you're
the
being
Durham Boys.
Such a hater about it. It's British. They say things in plural that we do not.
Is this something that's surprising to you that I am negative and I hate on things
about anything?
I know. I mean, I hated Tim Atkins. And he just
exists.
Oh, Tim Atkins, I didn't review this because I've only reviewed 14 things in my entire life. I hate Wilfred Wong because...
What?
I don't. I love Wilfred, but...
Do you? I mean, tell me how you love me. I said that one time to Jeff, and Jeff left the whole damn wine.com. Now it's Jose.
So don't I tried tell to... me you love me. Wilfred, don't tell me you love me.
What?
Don't tell me I don't wanna know.
Scott, we've been through this. I have a restraining order against you. I'm not interested in you. You're not an attractive man.
Don't tell me you love me.
No, I'm going after Jose. He's mysterious. And he looks a lot like Jeff. So, you know.
Because they're the same person.
Man, they're a bot, which works for me. I don't do too well with people. Probably because of restraining orders, but that's not the point.
Well,
what?
Those pesky lawyers.
I don't want to talk about it. Don't talk about it, Scott.
So, the Apotagua Collection Limited Edition Pinot Noir. Over to Triple B. What is your numerical score for this wine from Chile in the San Antonio Valley?
No, tell me
it's hard to give it a numerical score.
It's not. You just say the number.
Don't tell me you love me.
97 is what you want to say,
don't
probably.
Don't tell me you love me.
What are you doing?
Wilfred, don't tell me because I don't.
Scott, I have a AAA battery.
No.
About ready to, I'm about ready to Will Smith your ass.
Hey,
no,
inappropriate.
It is inappropriate. He apologized to Chris Rock, by the way.
Well, you shouldn't say bad
Doesn't,
things about his wife.
Cares.
Oh, who the hell cares? Jada Pickens
Smith
is a douche.
He smacked him on TV.
I know. She's a dumbass. She always has been.
She's a good heavy metal singer.
She's not a good actor.
Hold on. Turn off the... I don't want this to be on air.
Well, you can tell us afterwards. Here we go. I turned it off. Go ahead. Give us
Just
your score.
Just say it. Be controversial for once.
That's right.
Not happening. My numerical score is an 89.
89.
I'm kind of like in, I would kind of like anywhere 88, 89, 90, I would be fine with. I'm giving it an 89 for that reason. I think it's very different, and that's why I struggled a little bit with what to score it.
Do you like the difference or do you not?
And I do like the difference. What was that?
It's me thinking. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to wrap it up.
No, I'll start playing music for you.
No, that was his. I'm thinking about the wine. And
yeah.
He makes little hand signals when he's.
I know. I thought he was like, come on.
He's trying to make up his score, is actually what
Trust
he's doing.
Anyways. I'm going to play music for Scott to wrap it up.
Anyways, I happen to very much like this, but I would understand someone not. But that's where I am, an 89. I'm a. I would also be fine if we bought more.
Yeah, for sure.
We can't.
But so.
But when you find it.
There's a couple things about this wine I want to talk my way through to my score.
Okay.
Two sips into this, I decided when I see Apotaga, Tagua. Oh,
there you go. Tapacaca.
Colección. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going to buy it.
Find it. I can't.
But when they make an offering like this in the future, buy it.
Yeah, it's a nice wine. It is a nice wine.
And it's... I think it's also, even though it's really drinkable, the longer this is out, the more the fruit develops. Are you getting a little bit of cherry now where we didn't in at the beginning?
No, we mentioned cherry.
I
earlier.
Said cherry.
I think it's, but it's the fruit is becoming more exposed. It's opening up beautifully. I also wonder, could you hold this back a few years? Not 20, but... This has some life to it. The tannins in this. I don't think we talked enough about the tannic structure of this. I think at first I was the same place Becky was, but the more this wine's open, the more I like it, and the more I appreciate it as a 91.
Ooh.
I want to go even higher, but I'm not. I fear I may be overscoring it now, but I'm not. Okay. I like it 90 for 91.
Well, now it's on to me.
And now for the appropriate score.
I was waiting on that. Now for the real score.
No, it's... I enjoy drinking it. It reminds me now it's starting to remind me of more the standard Apatagua. The problem with that is the standard Apatagua costs $12.99. But this is a nice wine in its own right. And quite frankly, it is worth the money, partly because you can't find it. So when you have something that's a little unique and you like Apatagua and you can find this, buy it, because, hey, you're going to enjoy it. Scott does have some merit in the fact that he says it could age a little bit. I think 3 or 4 more years, it will be fine with that. It could probably do that. So in reality, this wine has a little bit more pedigree. It has a little bit more. I'm going to give it one more point because of that.
Oh, what are you giving it?
Not to that point yet,
though. Oh, my God.
I know you thought I was, but I wasn't. The one that...
If I was a cigarette smoker, I could probably finish a whole cigarette by the time it gets to the end of this review, don't you think?
Probably.
2 or 3.
Hello, it's Marge. Steve's fatty liver. I've been away for a long time, but I'm smoking cigarettes.
I've heard about you. You're
Wilfred, keep your hands to yourself.
I can't. I'm gonna put my hands all over you.
Robert.
I'm gonna wash them afterwards, trust me.
Anyway, so the one element though that I think this is lacking is it lacks a little subtlety. It lacks a little bit of complexity. I would like to see a little more nuance to this wine.
You used to give me a lot of grief for telling a winemaker what they could do better.
Ooh.
You remember that?
Well noted.
Well, okay, whatever. Anyway, so I'm going to give this wine 89 of my points. Mm. I would say
that's a point up.
An 87 to 89.
Crack. Yeah. Crack. Killed Applejack.
An 87?
I'm going to top of the mark.
Psycho.
No, whatever. I agree. I gave you the same damn score as you did. What do you?
Yeah, but you said an 87. I said an 88 to a 90.
1 point difference. Oh, my God. The world will end. Oh. This dumbass gave it a 91. Matt gave it a 92. Well, I'd like it a lot, too. But, it's not that complex. I mean, you drink Pinot for complexity. This doesn't have that. This is more of just a pleasant drinking experience. A really nice drinker. This is a really great drinker, especially as it opens up. But so is the standard Apatagua.
If you're comfortable with the score you gave it.
Just live in your own skin.
Hey, man. If you want to get off.
You don't see me and Scott defending our scores.
If you really like Apatagua and say, you know what I'd like to do? I like this Apatagua. I'd like to pay twice as much for one that tastes very similar to that. But it's still Apatagua.
But I think.
This is the one to buy.
I think
they're both good, though.
Yeah, I think if you put them side by side, that would be an interesting exercise.
Yeah.
But I think the weight of this.
This is
would
a little bit
give
bigger.
Give you some more lug. What I think this has that the lower price bottle doesn't is a luxury about it. And I don't think we talked about that enough.
Yeah.
The weight of it and the mouthfeel, it's a luxury.
Yep.
Where the base Apatagua, we love it. But a lot of the reason we love it so much is the price. But it's freaking fantastic. And we're, what, 4 vintages into it now?
Yep.
Probably.
Yeah. And this, I think it merits the extra cost. Do you question that this is worth $28? No, not a second. Now, when you take how good this wine is at a 91 and compare it to the Apatagua at that price point, that's not a fair comparison because we're not going to do QPR, right? Or are we? Are we reading this on QPR? Is that what you're doing?
No, I think this is very much similar to the Larkspur. So let's go to the
God.
Score. No, it's scores of integrity. I like the wine.
I said Scott would give it an 87. He gave it a 91. Rob, I said 88. He gave it an 89. I was off by 5.
Ooh, okay. Good scoring. I said Robert, give it a 92.
Ooh.
What? A little bit.
What'd you
off.
Say for me?
I said Rebecca would give it a 90.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds a bit.
So Rebecca stays in the lead with 5, and I have 6 points.
You're 6 points off?
How? You're only off. Oh, you're off 4.
Rob, give it 88.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah, whatever. I thought Becky would give it an 88. So I'm off 1 there. And I thought Scott would give it an 89.
Oh, wait. So you gave it 89.
Yeah.
So I had also 5.
Yeah, you're only off 5. Yeah.
I'm off 4.
Oh, so Rob's the winner.
Actually, I'm off.
We're all winners tonight.
I'm off 3. I'm sorry.
We're all winners.
What were your scores of integrity again?
88 and 89. Yeah, Moff 3.
We were all winners tonight. Moff 3. For
Rebecca
drinking
had 89.
This.
That's one.
And then I had 91.
Yeah.
We were all winners tonight for making it to our 300th episode.
Yes.
We were all winners tonight for drinking this Apatagua.
Yeah.
And I was the winner in the scores of integrity.
And we are all winners tonight for our time spent together enjoying wine.
Yeah, that is the most important thing.
And Bo's a dick.
Nah.
So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. But we shall see you next time in episode 301 here on The Wine Vault. Good night.